Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the commercial news from Danville. Today's date is Wednesday, June 13, 2018. And we will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, Committee OKs Funding for Charlotte's. Charlotte's restaurant owner, Ryan Quick, said he's a small business owner with multiple businesses, but he's not rolling in money. A small business owner work hard to keep their doors open, he told Alderman Tuesday night. The Danville City Council's Public Works Committee unanimously recommended utilizing up to $52,007.85 in CDBG funding for improvements to Charlotte's Restaurant at 402 North Gilbert Street and the shops at Charlotte's 407 Ann Street. The full city council will act on the item next week. Alderman Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall asked Quick why the city should help him. Quick said he purchased Charlotte's from his dad and stepmom, and including that loan, he has about $3 million in debt in his business. Quick said he's also put about $100,000 into Charlotte's in the last couple of years. It's tough to own your own business, he said. The CDBG funding would reimburse Charlotte's Properties LLC for improvements at the two properties consisting of flooring, roofing materials, and insulation, and also heating and ventilation improvements. Quick explained, the CDBG funding is higher than his original approximately $46,000 in invoices due to additional electrical work costs he mistakenly didn't submit and prevailing wages for the work under state law. Quick said the roof at Charlotte's has been leaking. The reinvestment also is expected to retain a 12 part-time positions benefiting persons of low to moderate incomes. Quick said there are some full-time positions as well. He said Charlotte's helps teach job skills to high school students and others in the workforce. I'm a stopgap, he said about employees then moving on to other jobs. He said he's added three positions in the last 2 years. He works with Danville High School and Cross Points Human Services to fill some positions. They're the backbone of all my businesses, Quick said about his employees. Quick also said part of his long-term plan is to expand the delivery side of Charlotte's. I'm here because I want to provide the community with something nice. I want to continue to bring more jobs and continue to grow, he said. In other businesses, the committee recommended amending the city code pertaining to parks and playgrounds to reflect the year-round curfew hours. They would also address neighborhood concerns about closing parks at 10 p.m. instead of 11 p.m. Mayor Scott Eisenhauser said city officials have suggested Garfield Park basketball games start earlier in the evening and special events with permits could be allowed later hours. Ward 5 Alderman Mike Purr said some neighbors would like to see an earlier closing time, such as 9 p.m. Eisenhower said a compromise is 10 p.m. Approving an $843,823 contract with Cross Construction for resurfacing portions of Chester, Oregon, Perrysville, Robinson, and West Williams Streets were approved. Funding comes from the city's gas tax. Danville Community Development Director David Schnell said work is expected to start next month. Approving a $291,261 contract with Daniel Rib Trucking Incorporated for seal coating city streets, including portions of East Winter, Walnut, North Campbell, North Colette, South Street, and Michigan Avenue, the city is using motor fuel tax funds to pay for the program. Also approved, a $140,079 contract with AC Pavement Striping Company for this year's street microsurfacing program. Schnell said the work will include striping on Fairchild Street and another crosswalk on Winter Avenue near Shalerman Academy. Man dies after police shooting. And we begin with a picture of this public safety director, Larry Thomason, at the right, speaking at a conference about the police-involved fatal shooting of a Danville man. And next to him sits Reverend Tyson Park on the left and Nate Smalls, as well as other members of the NAACP. And three AME ministers, three Kings of Peace, and AME ministers. Danville police officer shot and killed a suspect around 2 a.m. Tuesday after police said the man refused to drop a weapon as he exited the vehicle. Following the death of a 34-year-old Danville man, NAACP representatives, local ministers of the African Methodist Episcopal Churches, and community group Three Kings of Peace met with Danville Public Safety Director Larry Thomason. "We have contact with each other quite regularly," Thomason said, "and in this case, the ministerial group particularly, we have agreed and talked before about how we could gather together to discuss situations in the community in hoping something like this would not happen. But in fact, it has. Police were called to a residence in the 600 block of Sherman at about 1:54 a.m. on Tuesday. It was reported to police that a male subject had been present in the home and threatened an individual with a firearm but had left the residence," Thomason said. The caller gave a description of the person, vehicle, and license plate number to the dispatchers, who replayed it to the officers. En route to the call, two officers saw the vehicle in the 600 block of Harmon and initiated a traffic stop, Thomason said. The driver was ordered to show his hands and exit his vehicle. He did not comply with the orders, but he did exit the vehicle and was seen with a firearm in his possession in his hand. Thomason said at some point then the officers did fire upon the individual. The man was pronounced dead. His name is not being released pending notification from Vermilion County Coroner to the man's next of kin. Police are familiar with the man, said Thomason said, and had made contact with him before. When asked about dash cam footage, he said, "We are reviewing any and all evidence we may have at this time. I have not been able to look at that." He said he does not know how many shots were fired. The officers were not injured in the incident, and their names have not yet been released. They are both on paid leave and are described by Thomason as a veteran officer and a new trainee. "I will keep them on leave as long as it is necessary based upon their reaction and how well they're taking the incident itself," Thomason said. At the Sherman residence, a 43-year-old man and a 39-year-old woman were both injured in some way, Thomason said, but he did not give details. NAACP President of Danville and Three Kings of Peace member Ed Butler said that his goal is to keep Danville in as peaceful a situation as possible. "We don't know the whole story," he said. "It's a pending investigation. We have a good relationship with the officers. I am asking my people of Danville to be careful of outside people coming in trying to infiltrate our city." Thomason said he believes the last police-involved shooting was more than 3 years ago. The Illinois State Police were called and will conduct the investigation, and their findings will be presented to the Vermilion County State's Attorney. Marin New Breezy owners to discuss annex. The new owners of the Breezy Tower will meet with Vermilion County Board Chairman Mike Marin soon about the annex building, Marin said at the county board meeting Tuesday night. He added there is a possibility they will want to buy the annex building located at 6 North Vermilion Street as well. It will have to be legitimate with pretty well-defined criteria, he said. We don't want any problems to persist. The annex building was declared a surplus on Tuesday by the board. Chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, Wes Barrett, said it is a necessary step before anything else can happen to the building. Marin said before the meeting he met with and talked to Danville City Mayor Scott Eisenhower, who told Marin he met with the new Breeze Tower owners himself. The annex, located across from the Vermilion County Courthouse, was where county administration departments were housed until they moved to the Vermilion County Administration Building. That's the old federal court building at 201 North Vermilion Street a few months ago. The annex is not as well maintained as the Vermilion County Administration Building, according to employees. In addition to the building itself, there are items inside and a part of it that board must decide on what to do with. Marion said the American Legion has expressed interest in the handicapped door, and the old boardroom furniture could be given to the Danville Township building in Tilton if the building is not sold to the Breezy Tower owners or anyone else. It will likely be demolished. Also at Tuesday meeting, the North Ridge Middle School Girls Show Choir performed the Star Spangled Banner. A proclamation was approved to name Tuesday, June 12th, as North Ridge Middle School Girls Show Choir Day to honor their success at the National Show Choir Championship at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, where they were named grand champions in the Girls Middle School Division. The board also approved an ordinance regarding prevailing wages. This must be done each year as figures are given from the state that outline prevailing wage in each category. Approved an amendment to the liability fund. There were a significant number of workman's comp claims this year. And that concludes that article for us. And our closing article for page one talks about District 118 to look at land for learning. Danville District 118 school board members Wednesday will discuss a plan to create a, quote, learning land where students can practice problem-based learning and gain real-world experiences to prepare them for college and careers. Buildings and Ground Director Skip Trucks and Curriculum Director Mary Ellen Bunton toured various plots of land already owned by the district and determined that a small plot in Holiday Hills behind the soccer fields would provide multiple opportunities for learning. We've identified a couple of different plots, Truex said. We're going to ask the board permission to proceed with it. And the idea is to create a community garden or two. I think it's a good idea, Truck said. We want to try to get parents, students, and teachers involved. If approved by the board, the idea will be shared with officials at the Kenneth D. Bailey Academy, North Ridge Middle School, and Danville High School. In addition, Danville area community college instructors involved with the college's sustainability farm on North Daisy Lane and local partners such as the University of Illinois Extension Office will be asked to help brainstorm possible uses for the district's plot. And this leads us to the upcoming Danville District 118 School Board meeting will be held at its regular meeting time of 5:30 tonight at the Jackson Building at 506 North Jackson Street. And I will continue over here to page 4 to complete the learning article. District 118 teachers will develop a multi-year plan detailing a problem-based learning lesson that will be implemented in the 2019-2020 school year. A plan will be developed to maintain the land when school is not in session. Also on Wednesday, board members will A, recognize the Accelerated Reader Award winners, recognize Danville High School's JROTC for earning an Honor Unit with Distinction Award, and hear about special education's open gym and book study sessions where special education teachers, school psychologists, school social workers, speech and language pathologists, and occupational and physical therapists will continue to plan during the summer. Consider renewing a contract with the District 118 retiree Cheryl Schroeder, who has assisted the Special Education Office for several years. Her contract will run from July 1st to June 30th, 2019, and entail no more than 120 workdays at the rate of $250 a day. Work will be limited to no more than 7 hours a day at the elementary, middle, and high schools and the administration building. Hear that district teachers have been using Google Classroom's suite of resources, which allows the teachers and students to work interactively on the same document from any device at any time, and teachers can provide immediate feedback directly on a document, and students can respond electronically to one another's work. Google gave the district 40 vouchers to train online free of charge, and there is a waiting list of additional teachers who would like to train. You will also hear about open gyms that all district teachers can attend from 9 to 3 Thursday through August 9th, and during open gyms, teachers can collaborate across buildings and grade levels to work on planning, creating, and revising assessments, discussing and planning to implement best practices, and participate in various professional development offered throughout the summer. Hear that the district will provide 3 opportunities for AVID training for teachers this summer. Teachers may attend training sessions in Carmel, Indiana, Minneapolis, or Upper Southview Elementary School. They will create a building-wide implementation plan based on the skills and strategies learned in the workshop. The board will also hear how students in 1st through 6th grade were selected for the MATS, or Motivating Academically Talented Students program, and 21 first graders, 7 additional 4th graders, and 7 additional 6th graders were invited to join MATS. The board will consider paying $6,000 as the district's annual membership investment in Vermilion Advantage. And finally, consider appointing Terry Atwood as district treasurer for 1 year, beginning July 1st, with an annual salary of $58,000 and a $500 travel allowance. So many things to consider in the school board meeting tonight. We will move now to the obituaries and share these with you. First, we have Miss Shirley Ann Dill, 68, of Kokomo, Indiana, formerly of Georgetown, Illinois, who passed away at 7:18 p.m. Sunday, June the 10th, 2018, at her home. A celebration of Shirley's life will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, June the 14th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be from 11 to 1 p.m. Thursday prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. Please join her family in sharing memories through her tribute wall at the www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Miss Anne Marie Gash, 72, of Bismarck, passed away at 11:51 p.m. Saturday, June the 9th, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. She had been ill for several weeks. A service to celebrate the life of Anne Gish will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, June the 14th, 2018 at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will follow at Locust Grove Cemetery at 8295 North 600 West Road near Ambia, Indiana, and visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 13th, also at Sunset in Danville. Memorials may be made to the Humane Society, and please join Anne's family in sharing memories, photos, and video of her life through her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Mr. Paul Robertson, 90 years, of Danville, passed away Sunday, June the 10th, 2018, at home. His funeral services will be at noon Friday at PAP Family Funeral Home, East 10 East William Street, Danville. Joe Hamerichus will officiate, and burial will be in Newman Cemetery, Newman. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Friday at the funeral home. Connie Ann Reynolds. Connie Ann Reynolds, 67, formerly of Attica, Indiana, had been residing in Danville, Illinois, and passed away at 9:25 p.m. Wednesday, June 6th, in the emergency room at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart in Danville. A memorial gravesite service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 16th, in Riverside Cemetery, Attica. Condolences may be sent online to www.mausfuneralhome.com. And next we have Mr. Ronald Wayne Weaver. Ronald Wayne Weaver, 52, of Catlin, died unexpectedly at Presence St. Joseph, Chicago, from acute Guillain-Barré syndrome, Monday, June the 4th, at 2018. He had written a stage play, Bewildered, and in lieu of flowers, memorials are asked to be made to the Hoopston Animal Rescue Team in Catlin, Methodist Church, or organization of your choice, all in care of Robeson Chapel, P.O. Box 79, Catlin, Illinois, 61817. A visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday will be held June the 13th of 2018 at the Robeson Chapel, Catlin, and private graveside rites at the Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. The Reverend Zach LaCrone will officiate. Online condolences may be made at www.robesonchapel.com. And finally, we have Ms. Maria Hughes Winkler. Maria Hughes Winkler, 71, of Catlin, passed away at 9:30 p.m. Sunday, June the 10th, 2018, at her home. Her funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. Friday, June 15th, at Robeson Chapel, Catlin, with the Reverend Zach LaCrone officiating. Burial at Stearns Cemetery, Fithian, with visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 14th, at Robeson Chapel. Memorials to Transitions Hospice may be made, and online condolences are appreciated at www.robesonchapel.com. So that concludes our obituaries for today, and we'll get back in just a second here. On page 2, we find an article, Attorneys, Politicians Attend Middle Fork Hearing. A representative from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, as well as an attorney from Vistra Energy Corporation, formerly Dynegy, attended Monday's People's Hearing to address concerns surrounding coal ash pits near Middle Fork River. EcoJustice Collaborative hosted the hearing and is one of the nonprofit groups alleging the power plant, now owned by Vistra and last operated in 2010, has left coal ash pits that are eroding the embankment of the Middle Fork River. Several community members spoke at the press conference before hearing to express their concerns about the river. I've lived near the Middle Fork of Vermilion River. Of the Vermilion River my entire life, Kristen Camp said. I first canoed there as a teenager. While kayaking several years ago, I noticed the colors along the embankment near the coal ash pits. This is not normal and does not occur along other lines of the river. Lane Rickert is co-director of the EcoJustice Collaborative and said, he predicts Vistra will propose to place caps on top of the coal ash pits. There is a growing group of elected officials and residents who do not believe this is a permanent solution, he said. Local politicians, including Vermilion County Chairman Mike Moran, Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower, and State Senator Scott Bennett will attend the hearing to discuss the Middle Fork's impact to the community. The attorney representing Vistra gave a printed statement to members of the media that said Vistra is ready, willing, and able to proceed with the projects aimed at stabilizing the riverbank and permanently closing the surface impoundments. To do so, however, Vistra must receive the approval of the state and federal environmental agencies. It's Vistra's belief that the riverbank stabilization work could be completed in the course of a year. The wild card is the timing of the regulatory approvals combined with the ongoing intervention by outside groups intent on slowing it down for their own agenda. Richard Cobb of the Illinois EPA said there are three things Vistra is required to do at this point. Number one, complete a bank stabilizing analysis. Cobb said a recent analysis showed 2 to 3 feet of erosion in 1 year, which is higher than expected. Two, to provide a comprehensive matrix plan, including the cost and a time frame. Three, conduct 6 new rounds of groundwater flow to look at all possible options. Vistra is paying for a groundwater study on the river conducted by an outside contractor that will be completed in October, which should provide more information. Cobb said the information and data gathered will have to pass with the National Park Service, and isn't a time frame yet for how long it will take until that decision is made after the study. It's a complex issue, Cobb said. Earlier this month, Prairie Rivers Network filed a federal lawsuit against Vistra for allegedly violating the Clean Water Act. PRN is being represented by Earth Justice, a non-profit law organization. And as we close, I just want to present that on page A2, you will find a group of retiring teachers from Danville High School, retiring staff, that is. This month, we have from the left the welding instructor and industrial tech teacher, Mr. Jim Humriches, attendance secretary, Carolyn Waterstadt, special education teacher, Michelle Umbarger, and the new tech secretary, Kelly Sands. An incorrect photo ran with the story on Tuesday, so they'll be glad to know that they have been updated and they all have very big smiles. It looks like they're all looking forward to their future ahead. So this has been Nancy Pippen with the This has been Nancy Pippen with the Danville Commercial News edition for 6/13/2018. Have a good day.